Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Oh, yeah. Good, good, good. We've been having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This month of June. Summer's starting to pick up in the high gear. And I guess basketball still to talk about yet.
Yeah, the big – the big three with Ice Cube.
I watched that on YouTube.
I saw the highlights of it.
Yeah.
Was they hooping or was it like
– It was hooping, but you have to get in the proper mindset to really be a fan of it. Okay, because, I mean, we just came off of watching some of the greatest players, you know, up and down the court.
So these are like has-beens in half court.
These are has-beens on a half court. Okay. And it's going to take some getting used to appreciate this game, but they hyping it. My boy Ice Cube, thing since sliced bread.
It is kind of, it is. Because, like, we don't have no basketball, right?
Right.
So then you can say, oh, there go Iverson. And then I seen one of my favorite longtime greats, Muhammad Abdul-Rauf.
Oh, yeah.
Out there. I was like, he out there with, he got the salt and pepper and still got the jump.
Yeah, it's entertainment now.
Yeah, that's all it is.
We ain't looking at it from a competitive standpoint. We just looking at some brothers that's having fun, still hooping.
look what he said. Look how we just came, we just coined it. The has-beens on the half court.
And you know, entertainment is something that you always have to qualify and quantify. All right, it says now, would you actually pay to go see that?
Right, and they had a crowd, so they had to get them tickets away for free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those tickets were comped.
Yep, they were comped to build up the media.
Right, to bring in some excitement.
You see what Iverson had on?
No, I didn't see that, man.
He had a one piece on under his jersey. He had the sleeves on all the way down in white, right? And he had the pants all the way down in white. Like,
oh no. I will go and find it. I gotta see this.
Like he had, you know, you had the spandex gear, you know, like
right. They use it to help keep
the circulation. Yeah, so he had on a shirt, long sleeve shirt, white and long sleeve pants on the jersey.
Like some clothes somebody gave him.
Yeah, it just looked funny. You know, he older now, so he looked like man, get off the court, man. Come on, really? But he wanted an all time great. So, but it's entertainment, like you said, and it's fun.
Yep, it's fun,
and it's something.
But you know, there is a sport of competition.
It's a market for it
in the upcoming Olympics.
Half court, isn't it?
3-on-3. They're still going to have a regular team of the five, you know, five on the floor, but they're going to come up with this international competition in the Olympics, 3-on-3.
That's why Ice Cube did it. He could pull those guys.
Yeah, so, you know, they're still working out what that concept going to look like. It's like, you know, the pros have already committed to the USA basketball team. So on the 3-on-3, do we use college players that, you know, didn't make it onto the regular USA team? Mm. So there's things that are still working out. But it is now competition. Girls, men's, and ladies.
Or former pros. You never know.
Yeah, or former pros.
So Ice Cube might have beat him to the points line.
He may have. He may have set the stage.
Yes, he has. Yeah, you're right.
This is for the Olympic tryouts because we know we got to go through the tryouts. And I don't know how many teams they'll carry. But I think it's like five or six players that's on a 3-on-3 team.
Yes, it is.
That'll be interesting.
That's money, though. That's what we talk about in this show. Yeah, man, to make that money.
That's what you do in America. You can be innovative and creative, and you never know what'll catch on.
Because, right, we could laugh at it right now, has-been on a half court, but if you make millions of dollars, I'm going to be a has-been on a half court.
Okay. Speaking of has-been, you think Houston going to get their money's worth?
Man, Chris Paul, he over the hill now, man.
Okay. I mean, I think his years, best years. He left in L.A.
Yeah, he left him because, for one, he's Stephen Curry done called him a couple times. I know that. He done called when the teenagers called it catching bodies. Stephen Curry done called a couple of Chris Paul bodies.
Oh.
Well, he done got the best of him. Okay. But then Chris Paul has not been a proven winner.
Unfortunately, no, he has not.
But then also something else is in his game is he's a pick-and-roll point guard.
Pick-and-roll.
With no speed, you really is non-existent. So your speed going to diminish. Jump shot could probably slightly still be there. But we talking about 8 second full court, 24 second shot clock. You don't have a DeAndre Jordan no more. You don't have a Blake Griffin no more. So who's going to get that?
Yeah, because the other guy that's on the other side of the floor, he likes to handle the ball. He likes his number of shots by the name of Harden. Okay? So somebody got to be.
He like playing a point guard too, though.
Right. So I hope D'Antoni got a plan to make this thing work. But on the surface, it doesn't look so appealing.
They traded the whole team. Okay. They got rid of the defensive stopper, the point guard from Chicago.
They gave up a lot. And
they got five players.
And a pick.
And $600,000.
Wow.
So look at all that. Look what they gave up. They gave up everything.
They claim they have, you know, to make this thing really work, they got to get George. Now, that is going to be really interesting. Yeah. Yeah. The Houston people talking about making a move to go after
George.
George.
Then Carmelo Anthony, he got too much around him about cheating on his wife. So it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, he got that hefty contract. It's like $54 million left on the 2 years of his contract.
Somebody don't play defense.
Okay. So there's a lot of moving parts in this offseason in the NBA. And it's, you know, and of course, we know what the benchmark is, right? The benchmark is
Golden State.
Golden State. So whatever moves you make, you can't make moves just to be
in the competition.
Yeah. If you're not making moves to be better, then you're wasting your money and your time.
You don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
You're right, brother. So
but anyway, that's
well, we got one more. We got one more. We got one more headline news, which we knew it already. Right. Phil Jackson, the 11 ring man.
11 rings. So what happened? What happened in New York, man?
Come on, I know you told me earlier that he ain't never want the job from the get-go.
He didn't want the job.
I'm thinking it because like I played for the Knicks. They ain't give me my minutes. I'm just going to tear the organization up. That's what it looked like to me.
Well, I think.
he tore the wheels off.
Yeah. It's like a car. You drive at full speed and then throw it in reverse. You know what happens when you do that? You just tore it up. So, but yeah, the story is the owner, I think it's Dolan or whatever, went to him like three times, man. Kept bumping the offer up for Phil to come be the GM. Phil kept saying, nope, I'm good. Don't want the job. And he got to the point where he offered him such a ridiculous package. You know, I'm pretty sure his friends around him said, man, you stupid if you don't take that kind of money. Because even as he departs New York, right?
Yes.
What is he taking with him as a departure package, as a severance package?
$50 million.
$50 to $60 million.
They say, what they say about him at the pre-draft camps, he was falling asleep.
He was falling asleep, man. That's how much interest he had in watching these players put on their show. It's like, not even interested.
Lost interest.
So, yeah. So that's what he walks away with. That's the way you dump a guy, right? You got $50 million and tell him to go do something else. And he will. And he don't have to. Not, you know, with all the money he's gotten out of basketball for all the championships and endorsements. That's like money in the bank, retirement plan. But, yeah, that's interesting. I see who they get now. They're looking for a GM in New York. And they still got the Carmelo situation there. So New York is not a real attractive job for a seasoned general manager.
Wow.
Yeah, you can get somebody that's never had general manager experience that says, yeah, give me a shot, but you got to be careful with that too. So, interesting. All right.
Man.
What's on our docket today to help our folks get financially sound?
Number one, from our notes, because we got our 70 tips, we're on 48 right now. It says, get all the insurance discounts you deserve.
Very, very good. Because that's what insurance companies want you to do, is to qualify for all the various discounts. Reason being is, the more products you have with a particular company, you're more apt to stay, called retention. Okay, so there's two reasons why they offer you the various discounts. One is to attract you to come to their company.
Yes.
Two is to keep you as a customer, okay? And that whole dynamic has really changed in all major insurance companies, because at one time insurance companies wanted to write everybody, regardless, but now they've gotten to the point where they're very selective as who they want to write, because of the loss ratio that comes out when you write everybody. Everybody does not drive the same. Everybody does not, you know, have the same kind of mindset when it comes to insurance. And it's really a big issue in the industry now. So that's a big point. Make sure whoever you go to that they qualify for all your affinity, which is occupational type discounts, good student discounts, senior driver discounts, home, auto, specialty, life, financial services.
You're right. It's so many, like, I know I got that teacher insurance, so I always look at it like it's a great benefit and a great blessing, because being educated, they give us that benefit.
Yeah.
And that benefit alone saved me probably like $800 every 6 months.
The statistics say that teachers are very somewhat conservative folks. They're not people that really are reckless. So they know that's a very good group. You know, police officers to a degree, doctors. So they've done their due diligence on what segment of the population from an occupational standpoint are good risk. And that's why you get those great rates.
There it is. There it is. So that's why. So next one, number 49 says, tap the sharing economy. Timeshares, vacation shares, through different websites. You know, you got a timeshare, you can share a vacation spot, share somewhere you go, or share vacations.
Oh, yeah, share vacations.
With a group of people, like, okay, this group, we go to vacation twice a year, these families you go to vacations with, you got about 30 people that go together.
Yeah, rent 3-bedroom condos.
Yeah, you don't have to be, you could be at the same resort. You don't even have to know the family. You just share that vacation and you share that time.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that there's a whole new market that's just opened up for vacations with people that have second homes and some people that with their primary residence that have larger homes, empty nesters. They are opening up their homes to vacationers. Okay? So when you go on vacation to, say, Boston, instead of booking a hotel, you might have somebody that has 4-bedroom home, and they're willing to rent the bedroom and let you have access to their home. They may have other amenities. They might have swimming pools, might be on some kind of a gated community that has, you know, the clubhouse, these kinds of things. So that market has just exploded. It's almost like the Uber driving. So, take advantage of those kinds of opportunities when you're looking to book your next vacation, because you can save a lot of money. It's like half of what you would pay at a, you know, 2-, 3-, 4-star hotel. So, vacation, rental, home. If you just type in, you know, vacation rentals, you'll find those kind of places.
So then you got, like you just said, the economy sharing, like Uber. Like the Uber driving, I've done that in the past. Now it's in our city now, Muskegon. So for that person that's trying to get like that extra hustle, the extra side job or something, they get into that and then they're able to open up have their own business.
Where they get
a 1099 and they got some income.
Yeah, and there's only two major carriers that insure Uber drivers outside of what Uber provides, which is State Farm and Farmers. So Farmers Insurance, my agency, do offer that protection for Uber drivers. So now that it's coming to Michigan, Muskegon rather, then you make sure that you got that kind of insurance, because the worst thing you want to have happen is be a Uber driver and have an accident and you didn't inform your insurance carrier
that you was ride sharing.
And it's not a covered event.
And then you ride sharing and you don't have that liability on your insurance.
That's right. So it's huge. So make sure you do your due diligence if you're thinking about using Uber as a source of second income or primary income.
There it is. Next it says, reshop your car insurance every year. Now, why is that effective? I know that's your field, Tony. Why is that effective?
Because there's a dynamic in this industry that says that longevity does not necessarily guarantee me the lowest rates. Because insurance companies are always trying to attract customers. But if you are in this preferred market and you do shop around, you will definitely get lower rates. Preferred market is people not necessarily on a professional level, but has some college associate's degree or bachelor's degree, married, at least one, two cars in the home, homeowner, good credit, good driving record. Insurance companies will offer you the absolute best rates. And there's no longevity discount that I've heard of from an insurance company, which says that since you've been with me for 10 years, I will always give you some kind of a discount for years of being a loyal customer. So that is something you need to do as a consumer, is to shop. Make sure it's a good, reputable company now, because all insurance companies aren't the same. That customer service experience may not be worth the savings if they don't know how to handle claims. So just make sure you do your due diligence when it comes to shopping for insurance carriers. But you're absolutely right. You definitely need to compare.
Okay. Next one is never pay retail. Now, when you think about retail, I think about the new car. So the new car, when you drive it off the lot, it depreciates
immediately.
And you're talking about in 1 to 2 years, it's like half the value.
Yeah, definitely 2 years. 2 years is half the value. And you get to three, and it's incredible. So point of the matter is, if you purchase a car that is 3 years old and you do a good job of looking for the right vehicle with the mileage, get the Carfax report.
Vehicle history.
Yep. Make sure that hasn't been in any severe accidents. And it should be in relatively good shape. You probably get a good deal, a good bargain, versus purchasing a new car. So you're absolutely right. Look for that three-year-old car. A lot of times, cars are leased on a three-year basis, right?
Yes.
And there's a mileage restriction on it. So for the most part, you're going to get a car that has relatively low miles, that's in relatively good shape.
All the maintenance been taken care of, because a lot of times when people lease certain cars, they pay for all the maintenance.
Yes. And then if you stay within no mileage restrictions, it's still under factory warranty.
You're right. Most of them have
great deal.
6 years, 60,000-mile warranty.
Yeah. Some have 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
See you in a Kia.
See you in a Kia. Buy one, take one.
Buy one, get one free.
Right. Yeah, they had a buy one, get one over in Grand Rapids.
Man, Detroit had it big. Buy one, get the whole franchise. No, I'm just kidding. they're just kidding. They're nice cars, though. They are. Kias are nice cars.
One point before we go on the automobile industry. They've come off of a couple of record year of sales. But the projections now that they have
for
the upcoming season, GM, Ford, Chrysler, all of them have pretty stellar years. But they do know that there's a cycle in the industry.
That bubble.
And they've already forecasted for lower sales in 2018, possibly 2019, because of the cycle.
So what that means? They make a cheaper looking car?
Well, they're gonna, if they don't cut back on production, they're gonna have an oversupply of automobiles. Oversupply of automobiles means that we have to discount them. We got to get them off our lots.
So make them cheaper then too. They
could possibly make them cheaper, but they're carrying that inventory, so that costs them money. They want to put people in cars. So the point is that you can probably, this year, 2017, for those that want to go out and buy new cars, you're going to probably get some really good deals from the car makers at the end of the, because in August, you know the 18s come out in August. It's only 2 months away. So they're gearing up for the 2018 market, and there's probably a good inventory of 2017. So those cars you'll get a good price on.
Yeah, I've been getting called like crazy about my truck. Like, goodness gracious.
Keep your truck, man.
And the car. It's like, hey,
you
want to get rid of it? You want to get rid of it? We'll give you $5,000 more for it.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I'm
you
all right.
Turn around and sell it for $8.
Yeah, they would.
Okay, because it's worth $8. Easy. Okay, and then plus they got you in another car.
That's right.
Okay, so they did pretty good.
Yeah,
but
they
that's their job.
Double their profits.
Yeah. And there's a certain segment of the market that will go for it.
All right, so next one. Never pay retail, part two. Part two is going to websites. I know one thing I do. I don't buy stuff from the store a lot. I go offline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's other websites you can go to, like a Flip Give, where you can give to a nonprofit. You can like buy something, and then 10% of that purchase will go towards a nonprofit.
Cool.
10% of that purchase will go back towards your rewards on your credit card. So you can sign up for a website, and they'll tell you all the places you can shop, and then you receive cash back and a discounted price. So there's websites out there like that also that you can go to.
And then the other piece of that is if you do want to go to a brick and mortar, they always have a clearance section, right?
That's right.
So before you stop at the retail price section, go to the clearance section first. See if there's some items over there that suit your fancy as well as your budget before you pay retail for it. Because when you look at what is on clearance versus what it was on retail, it's like it's marked down 60%, 70%, and it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. So just think about what's over on retail. At some point in time, one day, it's going to show up in the clearance. It's just like with automobiles, right? They got the new styles coming in and new wardrobes for the stuff for the winter, so they got to get rid of the summer stuff. So, you know, just be wise when you go shopping. Look for that clearance stuff. It's new. It's still new. Just mark down.
You're right. You're right. So just looking at it in a different way and just saying, I know I do that when I go online. I look at the clearance section. Like if I go to Nike.com and I need some gear or something, I'll always go to the clearance.
Right.
And then what I'll do is I'll go to sweaters, thermal wear, stuff that's out of season.
Yeah, but we know if we live in Michigan, we're going to still need it. It might be 3 months, 4 months from now, but we're going to need it.
Yep. So I'll buy it and I'll put it in storage and then I'll save it. And then people are like, wow, that's brand new. Like, yeah, I bought it in the summertime.
Right. That's how you do it, man.
And it costs a third of the price. Even though it's the last year model, when I break it out, I'm taking tags off of it. And if it costs $70, I pay $25.
Okay.
So that's how I think not paying retail is like, you got to be able to think about, this is my dollar right here. I don't care if I got something that's come out this year or it's brand new that I bought it yesterday.
And, you know, that's the concept with outlet markets, right?
Yes.
So when you go to the outlets, most of that stuff is, they take it as a hub. So the stores that are in Lansing or Detroit, Chicago, whatever, they send all that stuff to these stores, okay? And they become an outlet market, which is, you know, marked down pretty good. So that's the purpose of the outlet stores, is to take all these seasonal products, get rid of them so they can make room for the upcoming.
You're right. It's marked down, 50% off, 70% off, people buy it. I know I do that with the Kohan shoes. I pay like they regular price, like $200. I pay $40 for them because I buy them from outlet.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier, most, even the websites, have a clearance tab. You just click on the tab, regardless of where you go, and you'll get the same concept of shopping for the clearance items.
That's right.
That's good stuff, folks.
Next, keep investing costs low. So it says, all else being equal, less you pay, the more you keep for yourself. Start by opening an account with an online broker, or you'll be able to buy and sell stocks for roughly $7 per trade if you go to certain websites.
Scottrade, E-Trade, most of those places do. I advise folks to have done some research on particular stocks, but it's not rocket science if you're doing it as a hobby. Okay, I don't expect you to go and take $10,000, $20,000 out of your 401k and start investing it in an online brokerage.
Capital One.
Okay, so take $500. If you got $500 of discretionary income and you really intrigued and you want to study the market, you take it, you open a brokerage account, do your research on the various companies, and purchase their stocks online and do it as a hobby to begin with. And if you feel like that's something you strongly want to do, you can take $100 a month and still put it in your brokerage account as you learn more about how the dynamics of the market works. Because one day the market may be up 200 points and one day it may be down 200. You say, well, I just paid $10 for that stock and now it's at $8. And you panic. Ah, this is not a good deal. But it's not about the timing of the market, is the time in the market. If you've done a good job of picking a stock, okay? And we've covered these before, and maybe we'll revisit it to help you understand, you know, you got to determine, you got to have a strategy in every in anything you do. And when you're dealing in the stock market, you got to totally understand what you're buying. I mean, we know what the staples are, the Coca-Cola, the McDonald's, the Walmart, those companies that has a track record of good earnings, paying good dividends, and appreciating in value. That's what you look for. There's always a few upstarts that you can, if you do your homework and you feel comfortable about their business plan and the brand that they represent, and you want to try it, you know, go for it. But do it as a hobby, not as a get-rich overnight type of a process.
You're not going to find nothing like that.
If you do, the old saying about if it's too good to be true, it is. I mean, Bernie Madoff, that's how he made his money, man.
Lying to people.
You know, he gave them these scenarios.
Hedge funds.
Of how much money they was going to make by investing in his company.
And he falsified the documents.
Well, there was no company, okay? But he had people bamboozled thinking that they could invest $1 million and in 2 years it's $3 million, okay? And there was a lot of folks dumping a lot of money into Bernie's lap because, the story was out there that Bernie made you rich. Nobody actually ever seen the money. They never seen it. It was all on paper. Okay, so if it's too good to be true, chances are it is.
Wow.
And it's still out there, too. Don't think that he was the only one. There's many others out there that's taking advantage of people that's trying to get rich overnight.
Yep. People that don't believe in the biblical principles about money. They just look at it like, hey, I'm just going to go quick and try to get something quick and fast and in a hurry.
No, man. Slow money is sure money. That's the way I look at it. Just walk it down. You'll be fine. But it's a fun game. I love the stock market. I love watching the nuances of the market because you can look at all kind of indicators and it'll tell you where it's coming.
You can catch a trend, yeah. Though. You also can do that. So you got to look at it like.
And it's a global market, too, now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something can come on and you can catch a hold of it, but it's not going to happen like, oh, I just put my money in and all of a sudden it's not the lottery. And the lottery is not the lottery anyway. So
no, and if that's your retirement plan, the lottery, if that's your retirement plan, you need to really hurry up and rethink that one because that's not going to work, Doc. No, no, it's not.
That's rough.
Yes, it is, man.
The next one says, trim your wireless costs.
That is a big one, man.
Except another one I got a discount. I got a discount with teachers, being part of a teacher, being a teachers union. They give us a discount for that. Having more than one phone on your line, that gives it a cheaper rate. Getting unlimited service that works, not having a contract,
which is good,
and not upgrading your phone every year.
No, don't do that.
If your phone works, just keep it.
Just keep it.
Your lease is up on your phone. You know, you can pay on the lease on the phone. You can lease it for so many years, and when you pay it off, you can get a new one now. Your lease is done.
You can get a new one now, yeah.
No. Yeah. They almost got me, though. So a company almost got me where the phone I have, I paid off, and they said it was going to give me a 50-inch television if I got a new one. So what I thought was, if I get this television, I can sell it. You know, it's legally brand new television in a box. But I wanted one of those specialized bikes, so I did it. And then they said, "No, you not with the phone. The phone that you wanted, it's a different phone." I was like, that phone might get defective. Cause I know the one I wanted.
It's the bait and switch.
That's right. I know the phone I wanted. I don't want that one. I want the one I said. So it's like they got me in on that phone. Okay. But then the phone that I didn't want, they wanted to give me and give me a TV. I was like, I'm going to be at home with no phone watching
the
TV.
That's it. You can't talk on the TV. You can talk to it. Can't talk on
it. Yeah, so I didn't need that. So I was like, well, I'm okay. And I ended up paying off my phone lease and on my phone out free and clear. I got my
no
bill.
Contract.
That's a bit.
You can tell them to walk anytime.
Yep. So I can walk anytime. So I'm good. I'm in place, I'm in balance. So it's just, you look at it like that, and this phone got insurance on it. So if this phone just keep on breaking down to that point, say, we're just going to upgrade you for free, sir. I'm like, thank you.
Okay, yeah, do it for free.
Yeah.
We're good with that. You know, credit unions also, some of them do offer plans with the cell phones. So, but yeah, definitely look at it. A lot of competition in the cell phone industry. Take advantage of it, okay, from the standpoint of no contract and the lower rates. For the most part, all of them are on the same cell towers. So don't be afraid to really shop and, like you say, part down on that cell phone bill.
Okay. Today's segment was called Look for Value. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.